you, preacher, and thank you, church, for being so good to me and my family. These two boys mean the world to me. I have seven grandchildren. These two I've sort of picked out, and they're the oldest. I've sort of picked them out. They've got enough age on them to behave themselves, and if they don't, they got enough fat on their rump to take a whooping. I can't whoop one as small as the other ones, but I'm just waiting on them to get big enough to where I can exercise authority on them. But these boys, they'll go to meetings with me, and I sure appreciate you letting me mentor them here this week and spend time with them and teach them some things that the contemporary society is not teaching them. My daddy taught me some values, and my daddy taught me some things to do and not to do, to say and not to say, some places to go and not to go. And every young boy needs a daddy and needs that authority to straighten his path up and help him. And I have vowed in my heart to do everything I can to make sure that they at least get a shot at doing what God wants them to do. Now, if they choose not to, then they're going to have me to deal with. But if they choose to do it, they're going to have me to help them. And so either way, I'm glad that God's going to energize their heart and help them. Brother Scott has been a tremendous help to me and a blessing to me. Every time I come here, he overloads in charity my heart and always makes me want to drop by and makes me glad to see him, whether it's at another meeting or this one. And this trip's been no different. It's been a blessing. And I thank you for letting us be a part of this place this week. Now, the A team's here 3 days and the B team's coming tomorrow. And you can tell him I said so because he's just a squirt. I mean, ain't nothing to him. I can whoop him left-handed. And he'll be here tomorrow. Don't miss Brother Arthur. He'll be a blessing to you. And if he isn't, you call me. I'll come back up here and I'll tune his motor. I promise you, you'll love the preaching. Brother Joe comes to our place every year and preaches at least one night. And we know he's going to be a help to you tomorrow. Somebody asked if they could get that stuff that's on that table online. You can if you just go to victorybc.com. There is that website address is on all of that material out there. And if you'd like to get on there and look, we're adding to it and changing it all the time. If you are computer savvy or know somebody, I can't do nothing but I finally learned to turn one on. But this boy here is a genius, so I just hired him. Amen. I don't have nothing, but I know people who do. So I don't know nothing, but I know people who do. And he's a preacher in his own right, loves God and helps me. And a graduate of our Bible school. And let me tell you that what you give in this offering is going to help us. Tonight, matter of fact, the college president, Brother Steve Hurt, he is in the pulpit right now preaching, he and his wife and girls, singing, and he's doing the preaching at a church in a little place called Watkinsville, Georgia, just this side of Atlanta. And we went up there, sent one of our graduates up there at the burden of his own heart, and we support him every month. We do this to a preacher every year. We do it for 1 year, and I raise the money to support these ministries and keep them going. We just started our 54th one. 54 churches have been born out of that Bible school. And we have supported about every one of them at some juncture or another. Some of them get self-supported in 3 or 4 months. This one, we've been supporting him for about a half a year now. And that's what your offering will go to help us do and help us make sure they get going. We've got 6 out west. Boy, that's my burden. I went out and preached in Seattle last year, and one independent Baptist church, let me back up. There's about four, but they're half-time, part-time, sometime, all of them but one, and they're the largest independent Baptist church in the Northwest, and they have 200. There's more people here tonight, way over, more people here tonight than the largest church in the Northeast in the state of Washington, in the city of Seattle. Oh, my. I preached out there and two old boys came from Idaho. Lord, I don't even know where that's at. One was in the southern part and one's in the northern part. They both meet in the middle once a month and eat together. And I said, why in the world do you do that? Haven't you got somebody in the south or in the north? He said, the only person that I can communicate the King James Bible to and affiliate with is 175 miles south of me. They met in the top and went over to Seattle and spent 3 days with me. I'd never met them. They got a tape of mine somewhere. And they came to that meeting and stayed 3 days. And they was on the front row. They didn't even know what a camp meeting was. And neither did the people where we was having one. They had no idea. Brother Brown's coming to do one of them meetings. And we just ran back and preached and called it camp meeting. And they said, we don't know what they are, but we sure do like it. Pray for us. My. Every time I turn around, I'm getting a letter saying, in Wyoming, we got 25 people. And Brother Chris helps me with that too. And we communicate with, got 25 people. We can't get nobody to come here and pastor us. And our burden's not to send more people to Atlanta. Atlanta's got 400 independent Baptist churches. Every time I turn around, somebody's coming by the house wanting me to support them to go to Atlanta. If I want to go to Six Flags, I'll just go. Yeah. Well, I mean, what about the nitty-gritty of getting down where people are dying and going to hell and aren't even hearing about the name of Jesus? Montana. I was out in Montana 2 years ago. And little old church in the backwoods, I mean, just trying to survive and stay in there. Cattle ranchers. He had about 50 folks, and they just tickled to death to have a church. And one fellow told me, I lived out here 30 years without anything but a Lutheran church. He said, I tried to go to it, and I couldn't find enough Bible in it to stay there. He said, I was teaching my family at home and getting more out of it. And he said, I don't know nothing about the Bible, hardly. He said, the man came out here and started the church, and we got one in Montana. Old Larry Hall's in Lewiston, Montana, just burning the woods up, preaching and teaching the Bible to ranchers. So thank you for your gift. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for being a blessing to me tonight. Chris, testify. Give a word of testimony. Just glorify the Lord a minute.
I just want to say tonight that I thank God for saving me. I thank God that we can drive all these miles all over this country. And there are still people that have sold out for God.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know that what I have is not what, I don't have it alone. There's some people who share what I have. I'm thankful that I'm looking at some people tonight that I'm going to spend eternity with.
Amen.
I'm glad tonight that I
share the
passion for the word of God that you share. There are countries all over, there are churches all over this country dropping the King James Bible. And I'm thankful that I have the authentic word of God. Amen. I'm glad that I go to a church where a man of God will sweat and he'll spit and he'll pour his life into me. And I can thank God for that. You want to thank God for your pastor?
Yes, sir.
You want to thank God for his wife and their family.
Yes,
they give all they have just so you can have Jesus.
Amen.
A man that once had no hope
yes.
is now giving hope to the world. Yes. I thank God that I'm a part of that. And I'm so thankful tonight that Jesus loves me
yes,
in spite can share with the whole world. God bless you. Amen.
Boy, I like preaching. Don't you? Hallelujah. Hey, just two verses or three tonight. Look at the epistle. The epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse number 8 or verses 8, 9, and 10. Look at 1 John 1, 8, 9, and 10. There's three basic things about fellowship in this chapter. Let me give them to you if I can. In verse 3, the Bible stipulates facts about fellowship. The Bible says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. That which we have seen and heard. Fellowship was not fiction to these people. It was fact to them. They seen and heard what and who they loved. Now there's the fact of fellowship. Look at verse 4. There's fullness in fellowship. I like this. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That means brimmed up and running over. Woo! I think I'll just go ahead and have a good time tonight. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. There's one thing about walking with Jesus. There's fullness in life because there's fullness in joy. I hadn't got me a little touch tonight or a little taste. Tonight I've got the whole blessed well in my heart because Jesus lives there not in portion or piece, but he lives there in fullness. And then there is in verses 8, 9, and 10, the way you have that fellowship or the stipulation of fellowship. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, the Bible says, deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 8 and then 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there is the stipulation of fellowship. You can't have fellowship by just being a church member. You know that. You can't have fellowship by just getting dunked in a baptistry, which is a wonderful thing if you're a Christian. But you're not going to have fellowship by that alone. I know a lot of baptized people that don't have fullness. I know a lot of folks that have their name on a church roll that do not have fullness. But when you meet the stipulation for fellowship in verse number 9, I want you to notice it. If we confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, plural, and to cleanse us from all, oh, I like that word. I like to hear it ring out in the tabernacle. All, cleanse us from all our sin. Now, I want you to notice tonight, if you will, please, with me around this particular subject, three, and here's the key word, characteristics in this chapter. Three of them, they're all in one verse. Three characteristics about forgiveness if we will adhere to these characteristics, we can have fullness of joy in fellowship. I want you to see quickly tonight these three, if you will, please, with me, these three characteristics that we'll look at. In verse number 9 alone, first of all, I want you to see with me the condition of fellowship. Everything that God does that brings fullness to your life carries with it condition or responsibility if it has privilege to it. Everybody wants the privilege of the gospel, but do we want the responsibility and the condition that goes along with it? If you do this, God said, I'll do that. If you'll do this, I'll do this. Every condition or responsibility that we fulfill brings to us not only a condition, but a blessing or a fullness. It brings to us a privilege. The Bible says that the condition of forgiveness here is confession. Confession. You confess to get in. Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's what Easter's about. Raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You don't confess with your hearing. You don't confess with your smelling. You don't confess with your touch. You confess with your mouth. That's how you get in. Let me ask you a question. Can you go back to a place where you repented and ask? Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from your past. I can testify tonight that God's holy eraser can clean up the mess you made and the mess I made. I feel God in here tonight. Hallelujah. You confess to get in. Listen to me, child of God. You do not get to be a child of God because you can go to church, find the church, and get in it. You are a child of God because you've done business verbally, one-on-one with God. Somebody say amen right there. I remember the hour. I remember the day, third Sunday night in September, when a preacher preached the gospel and scared me to death. He had a 60 and a half foot long arm. Wham! The finger on the end of it was 12 and a half foot. That extended it right to my nose. He was just letting it rip, preaching the gospel. I had been there, it was on a Sunday night. I'd been there that morning. And he scared me to death that morning. I left early. He bowed his head to pray, and I welded them doors closed when I went through. I went out and got in my car, and I said, "Bless the Lord, they won't catch me back in a place like that again." My heart was a beating and a banging and about to bust, and the Holy Ghost was dealing with me, and I didn't know it. Ain't been to church but four times in my life. The fourth one was that morning. The fifth one was that night. I went home and tried my best not to go back. I didn't want to get back in that mess where it'd make me feel bad. I mean, if they'd have let me bring a six pack with me, I might have been able to make it through that night. But I couldn't go up there without a little help. About 5 or 6 o'clock, I found myself walking the floor at the house wanting to go back. What is that? I mean, when your will is to do what you want and something down deep in you is crying out and moving you toward hope. Then before I knew it, I had my clothes on again. My wife was dressed, and here we went back to church. Looked like Mutt and Jeff, but we went. I went back in and sat on that pew, and that boy preached the same sermon he preached that night. He just ran back and preached on John 3:3, except a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I mean, he let it rip and he throwed that arm out. He brought that finger right back. I mean, it was cocked and ready to blow my nose, slam off my, I mean, he preached the gospel. And before I knew it, I was at the front just standing there. I had no idea. I went in the middle. Everybody was just like you are now. And I stood up and stepped out in the aisle, and that preacher said, "Come here, boy." And before I knew it, I was down there at the front, and he was up here. He said, "Don't nobody move. I'll be back." And before I knew it, he was down in my face. He said, "Why are you coming?" I said, "I don't know." He said, grabbed me by the arm and snatched me. And people's are talking now. They ain't seen nothing like that in a while. And he looked at me, he said, "Are you saved?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Then you ain't." That's what he told me. I've always believed that because he told me that. And he said, "Do you want to be?" I said, "I want what God's got for me." He said, "You'll get what God's got when you take what God wants you to have." Listen. Will you receive him? Will you let him come into your heart by faith in him and through you submitting to what he wants you to have and get? I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want you to pray with me." If that boy had been a Jehovah's Witness tonight, I'd be peddling them nickel and dime Watchtower magazines tonight. If that boy had been a Mormon, I wouldn't have had a RV. I'd have a bicycle. Run up and down the mountain. But he was a Bible thumping Southern Baptist that was on fire for God, just preaching the book. And he said, "You pray." I said, "I don't know how." He said, "I do. Follow me." He said, "And mean it in your heart. If you don't, I'll know it." He said, "Jesus." I said, "Jesus." He said, "I'm a sorry sinner." I said, "God, I'm a sorry sinner. I'm a low down sinner in need of help." I said, "I'm a low down sinner in need of help." And he said, "Come into my heart, please, and forgive me." And I said, "Oh, God, come into my heart and forgive me, please. I ask it in Jesus' name." I don't know what happened that night. I can't explain it all to you. But Jesus came into my heart. And I want to tell you something. He is not privy to who he saves. I don't have something that you can't hang on to yourself and enjoy. If you want to, you get in by confession. But you know something else? You stay in the fullness of your in by forgiveness. By going back to God. Thank you, Lord. Here's a verse I ain't memorized for years and years, and it just came through. It just rode by. Here's what he said. Colossians, as you have received him, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him? By confessing. So walk ye in him. You walk in your faith just like you got in your faith. Good God, that's good preaching if a white boy is doing it.
Amen.
And walk in just like you got in by confession, not cover up.
Right.
Baptists are masters at cover up, but not confessing up. Did you know John wrote this book and John was saved? I think we can all agree that John was saved when he wrote it. He said, if we say we have not sinned, or if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, the truth is not in him. He was putting himself in here. This isn't written to sinners. 1 John was written to a church that needed and wanted and looked for fullness. And the way to have that full fellowship is the same way you got in a full salvation. It's confession. Years ago, I'll illustrate it. Years ago, I was with an old boy preaching on a Monday and Tuesday. His birthday fell on Saturday before I got there. Talking about cover up. Talking about not confessing. We don't need to come down to Trinity Baptist Church trying to get everybody to think that we're acceptable. We'll tell our teenagers, it doesn't matter what the other teenagers think about you, you live right. Well, let me tell you something, Daddy. It don't matter what them deer hunters down at Hardy's at 8:30 in the morning talks about either. Bless God, that's that shoe a foot, 2 feet. Amen. It'll just fit 2 feet. If you're just a little bit worried about how they accept you. The truth is, it don't matter what anybody thinks. If we're not stacking up correctly with what Jesus said, then we're not going to get what Jesus has. Forget. I was with this old boy. He had a birthday. Well, the church was a good church, but they didn't say a thing about his birthday on Sunday. I know you wouldn't do that. If your preacher has a birthday and you don't celebrate it, me and my grandchildren are going to come up here and live at y'all's house about a month, eat every blessed thing you got. And that one right there is wormy. He'll do it in a minute. You don't want me at your house long. I mean, it's good for a visit, but you don't want me in a judgment stay. And they didn't say nothing. Well, I found out about it when I got there on Monday. They was talking to me about it, and I knew something a little bit about his family and his kids, and they told me, and on Monday night when we went to the church house, behind his back, I staged the party for Tuesday. I went and got me there's two old women. One of them had a bun up, looked like Vestal Goodman. You know who she was? She's in heaven now. That gospel saying, that woman, you know, when she starts putting her hair up on Friday for church on Sunday so she won't shout it down, got about 2,200 bobby pins stuck in her head. That's how Grandma used to come, because if she hollered real loud, her hair'd be hanging down to here. And I got me one of them women that could cook, not no shake and bake woman. Not no Martha White, pour it out of the bag, hag stuff. I'm talking about somebody can cook. I found one that could cook cornbread. And I told her, I said, two things I want you to do. Number one, keep your mouth shut. Don't say a thing about what I'm saying. If you do say anything, God's going to tie your tongue in a knot. Because I'll ask him to. Don't do it. I want you to, I won't say a word about what. I said, I want you to make me some of that skillet bread. I'm talking about not no hoe cake fried. I want 2 pieces of cornbread about that big and about that high brought to church to me tomorrow night early, about 30 minutes. Can you do that? Yes, I can. I sure can. I said, now don't say nothing. It's a surprise. All right. Well, I asked one of them ladies, come up to me to ask me a question later. I said, who is the biggest talker in the church? She said, oh, Lord God, she's standing right down in that blue dress. I said, now I'm talking about a woman that can gossip. Can she really gossip? She said, Lord, yes. She's good at it. Don't tell her I said it, but yonder she is. All you got to do is tell her something, and everybody in the county will know it in no time. I said, that's good. I went back there and got her. I said, ma'am, I need your help on something. You don't throw gossips out of the church. You get them in your pocket. If you run off everybody who's got the potential to talk about somebody, you'll run the whole blessed crowd off. You just got to get them in your side of the ring. Have them in your corner. And then you can guide their gossip for Jesus. And so I told her, I said, I need you to call everybody you can call. And I want you to tell them it's a surprise and it's up to you to keep it quiet. But I want you to get everybody here tomorrow night. We're throwing the preacher a birthday party. We are. And I could tell the way she lit up that her mouth was already rehearsing. She went home and made Alexander Graham Bell proud. Man, that night the church was packed. The preacher told me, he said, Lord, help us. There's people here I don't even know that's members. And this woman had got them all. This woman had brought my cornbread. I got me some of that Martha White cake icing, chocolate. And I took them two cakes of cornbread and hid myself in the church. And I took that icing. What little time I wasn't licking it myself, I was putting it on that cornbread. And I had it all over. That cornbread was neck deep in chocolate. After we had the service that night, after the service, I said, we're going down in the fellowship hall for a party. I said, it's the preacher's birthday, and we're going to honor his birthday. I had a bunch of people bring gifts and stuff. We're going to honor his birthday. And he went into that pastoral mode, you know. You ain't got to do that. They all want you to, him included. Yeah. They all want you to, but they'll go into that. You didn't have to do that. His wife's sitting over there saying, yeah, how come you cussed them all out? Because they didn't. Hello. Ain't we something? You ain't got to do that. And he just went into that sobbing. I said, don't mention it. Do we love him? Yeah. And he was up there, them big old tears. He done manufactured a little water. We went down to fellowship. I had the lights turned off. So then when he got down there, we turned the light on the cake and the pride, the gifts and all of that. And I said, we're going to sing. We sung. And he thanked the people. I said, you just had Brother Brown, thank you so much. I love you. I said, don't mention it. I said, cut the cake. He said, no. He said, you can. I know it won't be cut if you don't. You get the first piece. Bless your heart. He cut it, and he stood there. He put it in his little, they fixed him a piece. He was holding his little cake while he's making his little speech. Thank y'all for loving your preacher. Birthday 2 or 3 days gone. Thank you. And he just up there trying to wipe them snot and tears and everything, you know. And all of a sudden, he bit into that cornbread and that chocolate. He's just like a woman. Them tears was turned off that quick. He spit cornbread for a mile and a half and wheeled on me. He said, I'm kidding you. I said, what happened to all that love in me? Because I love. And I never will forget what he hollered at me. He said, I don't care how much chocolate you put on cornbread, it ain't cake. I don't care how much cover up you put on sin, it ain't never gonna be right.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Confess. Don't cover. Cover means I'm accepted by the fellowship. These people are ignorant of your soul. They're ignorant of my soul. I could be a devil in shoes tonight and stay here 3 days, and you probably wouldn't see the devil. I said I could be. But the truth of the matter is, whatever we cover up is in us, and we keep it in there by our cover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you confess it,
right. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Will you come to this altar in just a moment and ask God for the fullness of that fellowship and ask him to forgive you for saying some of the things that you've gotten used to say? Would you come down here tonight and ask him to give you fullness of joy and get over that argumentative spirit? There's another characteristic in this chapter of Scripture. Not only is there the condition of forgiveness, but there is the certainty of forgiveness. Not only the condition, but the certainty. I like this. Look at what it says. If we confess, look at the Bible with me, confess our sins, notice this. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The certainty of forgiveness is not how you feel after you pray.
Listen.
It's based on how he died before you got to pray.
Amen.
For he is faithful and just. He's not crooked. He will not bring an evil report against you if you'll blood soak your sin debt. If you'll ask him to forgive you and cleanse you, he's faithful. Can I get a witness here tonight? He's faithful. Can somebody holler? He's faithful. I'm talking about he's faithful. Can somebody say amen? When you hadn't been, he has been. When I hadn't been, he has been. When we have not been, hallelujah, he has been.
Amen.
If you don't get excited about nothing else in the house of God, you ought to be thankful tonight that he's faithful when you run off like a yard dog.
Amen.
He's faithful and just. That simply means the truth will be all the evidence present. When you'll ask him to forgive you, don't base it on how you feel. A lot of people here tonight, a lot of people has based your eternal security on the way you feel after you talk to God.
Listen.
It's not by feeling. It's not by nerve endings. It's not by the tangible, but it's by faith.
Yes.
By faith. The substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. That which is not of faith is sin. When we put our faith in what Jesus did, praise God, we can get what Jesus has. Yes, sir. And the child of God needs their faith rooted and grounded in that book so they'll know it's not by how I feel. Have you ever prayed and got up and felt like it wasn't real? It don't matter what you feel like. Do you believe that you prayed truthfully? And do you believe that he's faithful and just to forgive you? It's not by feeling. I was preaching in Greenwood, South Carolina years ago when I was just a kid. Driving back and forth. I got home about 1 o'clock in the morning. I went in and sat on the edge of the bed and took my shoes off and I was trying to get my clothes hung up in the dark because I'm married. And I don't know how you get your clothes hung up in the dark. I can't even hang them up with the lights on. And I'm sitting there and she rolls over. And she said, "Are you home?" I said, "Who else was you expecting to be sitting in here on the bed?" She said, "Shut up and go to bed." I said, "I'm hungry. Get up and let's eat." She said, "I ain't hungry." I said, "Well, I am. What do you want me to do?" She said, "Go in there and try one time for yourself." I said, "No problem, Missy." She rolled back over in that little kitten position she gets in and proceeded to chase the Sandman. She don't even like her. I don't either, honey. And leave me there. And so I just started hanging clothes on doorknobs. How many of you believe God ordained doorknobs for men's breeches and shirts? Can I get a witness? Amen. You got happy one time in this meeting right there. Yes, sir. I mean, when you can put a pair of pants up on a door, praise God, it is serving its purpose. If all it's going to do is just shut and close the dividing hole in the wall, how cheap you ought to be able to buy them. But when you can open it and hang your pants on, you're getting your money's worth. And I went in there, and I was in my boxers. Standing in the middle of the kitchen, I said, "It's been good, and it's been real, but I'm fixing to have a heyday." I opened the refrigerator, and I said, "Have you ever been really hungry? In the middle, I mean, just ain't had, just forgot to eat, ain't it?" I got the lettuce and the tomato and the bologna and the milk and the bread and the mayonnaise and the mustard and anything in there that looked like it didn't want me to eat it. And I started building me a sandwich. That joker got to, I mean, I thought I was going to have to get a building permit. It got up about that high. I had bread and lettuce and mayonnaise and tomato and bread. And then I started again. And I just built me one of them Dagwood, you know, sandwiches. Huh? And I got me about a quart of milk and poured out. And I was sitting at the table. I said, "It's been good knowing you, but you're done. You finished, thank God for you, but you're over." And I ate that sandwich and drank that milk and was just about to bust. I went in there and sat on the edge of the bed. I said, "Don't worry about me. Everything's all right. God's still blessing." She just said, So I laid down and started to sleep. I went off to sleep, and about 30 minutes, I woke up and I heard the mayonnaise say to that tomato, "I'm leaving out of here." That bread said, "Ain't none of y'all leaving before I get out." I sat up on the edge of that bed, and I mean every component of that sandwich was having its say. And I said, "Oh God, I have overdone it. I need your help." He said, "My help? I didn't help you. Help you make it. What you want me to do? Help you hide it?" I went in this little small room we got, this little small room, smallest room in the house. Went in there and shut the door, and I sat down. I said, "Oh, God, if you'll get me out of this one, I'll get out of the next one by myself." That tomato said, "Move over, mayonnaise." The pepper said, "Get out of the way, salt." The bread said, "Oh, God, mustard, get out of my way. Here I come." I was absolutely about to be sick, and I didn't feel saved. I didn't feel forgiveness. I did feel fullness, but not the kind of the spiritual variety. There's a lot of things that will happen to you and positions you'll be placed in. But because you're uncomfortable does not mean you're unconverted. And it does not mean that you are not meaning business. I was just as saved with that lettuce and that bread and that tomato as I was before it. But the feeling that things will put on us make us think that because we're not feeling accurate according to our judgment, we feel like we're not forgiven. But it's by faith. Let me ask you a question. Are you having a hard time? Somebody in here tonight, I changed this at the last minute. We talked about something all day long, and God wouldn't even let me begin it, wouldn't even let me start. When that the choir was singing, I felt this on my spirit, and it is absolutely mandatory that you hear. It's by faith, not feelings, in what Jesus done that's going to give you fellowship in fullness. Amen. And joy. You're never going to enjoy church, and you're never going to enjoy Christ as long as you're trying to live a commandment life to have something. You'll live a committed life because he already gave you something, and you got to believe it because he operates by you trusting him, not how you feel. There is the condition. That's the characteristic. That's confession. There is the what was the second one? Anybody write it down? I didn't give it, it's the, I didn't give the second one. It was the certainty of forgiveness. The certainty of forgiveness is based by faith in Jesus. Thank you, Chris. The certainty of forgiveness. And then I want you to notice the last one, and we'll be done. The completeness of forgiveness. He said he's faithful and just to forgive us. That's the certainty. It's based on the certainty of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us, not how you feel. I got more Bible to back that up, and you got time to listen. And then I want you to notice the completeness of forgiveness. It says this, and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? Everybody say it with me. All. Everybody say it out loud together. All. Everything you ever done as a child of, have you ever thought about this? Everything you ever done as a child of the devil, when you knelt down on your knee, I was 21 and had a long laundry list of wickedness following me. I knelt down and said, God, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sin. Cleanse me, I pray, oh God, and forgive me. From that moment in the third Sunday night of September 1968, almost 40 years ago, that night, backwards, 21 years of record keeping was gone. I need somebody to, somebody, don't just, I got to have somebody give me a little bit of witness there. I said, it's all gone. Woo. I told you, I'm not computer literate. I don't want to be. I got other things to do. I hire somebody to do that. And there's other things I need to be doing. Computers don't cry. People do. God called me to help people. You can do that with a computer, but that's not my main thing. But the other, oh, it's been 2 years ago, our church secretary come running down the hallway with her face in her hands, and she was squalling. Is that a word up here? Squalling to beat the band. I happened to be coming around the corner, and I seen her. Now, the one thing you don't ever ask men, you don't ask a woman that's squalling, what's wrong? They'll tell you. But they'll tell you just blowing snot bubbles, and they'll tell you spitting on, and they'll take them 2 days and a half. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, don't ask them what's wrong. Just act like you don't see them and go on. She ran right to me. Oh, Lord, she hollered. I thought somebody had broke in and had a gun on her and she was outrunning them. I didn't know. She said, it finally happened. I knew it would. I said, what? Thought the church roll. I said, the church roll? What about it? She said, I was on my computer messing with the church roll, and I don't know what I done, but I hit a button and they're all gone. I said, praise God. I've been trying to hide some of them for a long time. We got no problem. The Holy Ghost has moved in here. She said, they're all gone. Poof. And I said, do you know where they went? She said, no. I said, then we can't go get them, can we? She said, no. And then Carol heard Ruth hollering. Carol heard her. Carol, this is in the old building. She ran out in the hallway. She said, what's the matter? Ruth said, the disc. The disc with all them names is gone. She said, oh, Ruth, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. She said, I got a backup. I said, shut up and go back in there. I said, now explain to me what she had happened. Tell me what happened to that. She said, there is a way that you can put something in that computer, and you can download and glean information from that computer onto a disk. And they're always in that computer. You can hit a button and everything on the disk is poof, gone. And the Holy Ghost said, poof, gone. He said, that's what I did for you when I saved you 21 years of hell, downloaded and recorded, but poof, poof. When you prayed and asked Jesus into your heart, I poofed your stuff out. Now, I don't know how old you was when you got saved. Somebody tell me, how old, brother, was you when you got converted? You remember? How many? 20. How old was you, brother? 22. How long? Don't have. If you have to ask your wife, you need to get right. You may not even be saved. How long you been saved? 22 and 20 and how old? 30 years old, 20 and 22. Now, I don't know how many years is that? It's a lot. It's a lot. Every one of these three men, when they knelt down and prayed, throw me in there, it's 21. Every one of us, when we ask Jesus to come in and forgive us, poof. Not one beer, not one juke joint, not one whoring around, not one lie, not one lust, not one trick, not one demon, not one devil, not one blessed sin. What happened to it, preacher? Poof. And that ain't all. After you get saved, you still have a wrongdoer in here, don't you? Everybody nod like this before God slaps you, right? Yes, sir. You're here. You have an evil doer, a nature that has not been removed. I don't care what the Pentecostals tell you. You do not have sinless perfection when you have Christ in your life. There, he does not come in and stop the sin nature from sinning.
Right. Yeah.
Now you can curtail that and you can deal right here with that.
Yeah.
And he does give you the power of the Holy Spirit to conquer and overcome. But he does not give you annihilation of it.
Yeah.
If he does, I didn't get the right kind of salvation. Because I still got a dog barking in me. I still have to really deal with that one third of me that ain't saved. Soul and spirit safe, but body still lost. That's why I'm gonna get a new one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have some hair. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm gonna weigh 165 pounds and be gorgeous. Why? Because of the completeness of sins forgiven. All. Did you know if you came to Jesus Christ and your domestic life was tore all to pieces and you lost a family back then, here you are divorced and ravaged and raped by Satan. You come to Jesus Christ. He does not hold that against you in the eyes of justice and in the eyes of this book. He cleanses us from what?
All.
If you don't have it all forgiven, you don't have any of it right. He is a God of a second chance. He is a God of hope. And he is a God of fullness. Fullness, restoration. These boys won't mind me telling this. I'm done. When I was here before, y'all wasn't with me. We was going through some real difficult times back there with Mama and the difficulties that we prayed her through and prayed her out of. These people have prayed for us. And prayed for her. My girl was hooked in a prescription community of doctors getting pills from everywhere. We had no idea what was going on. She had Crohn's disease, and she had developed scar tissue from an operation, and pain was eating her up. And she got on these painkillers, and she got on some of these drugs that she could get from a quack and from a doctor. He's no longer in business because I done everything I could. I didn't get him locked up, but I got him locked out. He took my girl and my family through the bottom of the pit. She went through rehab. I went through it with her. If you've never been there and been through the difficulty and the heart-wrenching things they see and the things they say and what they hear, 14 days. She was in nursing. She had a nurse. She was working in a doctor's office in and around that medical community when this happened. She came out of it, and we had to go through the rehab now. Her husband is a good boy. I love him to death. Their daddy, he's as good as gold. It just killed him. He done all he needed to do. 10 years. He done all he needed to do. And they lost their daddy and their family as a couple. He's still their friend. He's still helping me with them right now. But she about lost her mind. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I hope to God you never find out. Because there's a dark hole in life. I hope to God you never have to get in. I could take anything myself but to watch one of mine do it, and I can't do nothing about it. I took her through the rehab, a straitjacket. I stayed with her. I held on to her. I spent the night, my wife and I both, trying to do what we could to help her. I'm talking about completeness. She came out of that. And she came to me because it was the only person left to help her, the only one that would really care enough to help her. People in the church was praying, and they was doing all they could to love me. But sometimes it's not easy to love somebody putting your preacher through trouble. I don't hold any of that against them. Not at all. She came out of it. She heard things that was said. Church can be an awful place for talk. And then she heard things, but she took my advice. I gave her 5 things she had to do. One of them, she had to come to the house of God. I was going to work her there some and help her and try to help her stay financially solvent and raise these 2 boys. And she did that. And one day Angela snapped in spiritually, and she recognized, nobody can do it for me. I've got to do it for myself. And she came clean with God about 1.5 years ago. She started every service being there. She started applying every service to her life and to her heart. She became a good mama to these boys because she's being tutored and helped. If you met her, you'd fall in love with her. Easiest person, got personality just like mine, just don't know a stranger. And God started bringing her. I'm talking about completeness. I'm talking about forgiveness of all. It began to click with her that God wasn't holding nothing against her. It's hard to be a Christian and do something wrong and think that God still loves you as much as he did when you was a sinner, isn't it? Can I say that again? It's hard to get God's forgiveness down when you're a Christian because you think that he won't feel the same about you when you're saved as he did when you're lost. Because when you're lost, you didn't know no better. But when you're saved, you do. But the truth of the matter is, you can't do no more about it after you're saved than you can before you were saved in yourself. In yourself. In yourself. Somebody's getting some help right here. In yourself, you can't do it. I don't care what side of it you on.
Yeah. That's good, preacher.
And she locked up with individual responsibility. Same thing you got to do. She said, I don't want my boys to be away from me, and I don't want my family, and I don't want my life to fall apart. She came clean with God. People started restoring her. In a year and a half, people started restoring her. The whole blessed atmosphere around her countenance in church changed. One time she wanted to leave. She said, I just need to relocate. I just need to get my boys and go somewhere else and start all over. I said, the past will not leave you alone that easy. I said, until you turn around and knock it out, it will always have an opinion. You can't run and you can't hide. She turned around that day and faced it. 2 weeks ago, she'd been working with me, and she has been just doing all, 2 years ago, all the pills, monitored by me, monitored by her mother. She's being inspected and watched over and helped. And all of that was gone. And 2 weeks ago, she got a phone call out of the blue. She got a phone call from a girl who is saved and who has started attending our church. She's a registered nurse. She said, Angela, could you come by our office? We have an opening. She called me. You would have thought that she was fixing to get on the Scream Machine at Atlanta at Six Flags. She said, you ain't gonna believe they called me for a job interview. I talked to her just before I come into this meeting. She's in her what, second week. She's got everything she lost back. She's now working. She's being monitored and helped. And everybody in the office, including the doctor she works for, is a Christian. And they're more interested in people than they are prescriptions. And he called me not long ago and he said, I will join hands with you and help you see this girl completely restored. She was all over the road talking to me, coming to church tonight at home, telling me all that went on today and what God was doing. And every time she gets talking like this, she'll say, Dad, if it hadn't been for you, I'd have went to hell. Oh, no. Not true. I'll take a little credit because I got a lot of money invested in her. We don't know if it hadn't been for Jesus and his completeness.
Yes, 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 yes.
Don't give up. Amen. Where's my brother with the baby? Pray for him. Because I promise you this, don't nobody know how he feels just like I do. He leaned across this pew to me the other night. He said, you don't know how split in half the second pew is. And he went into that story. His girl's a nurse. And went into that story. And I said, sir, I don't know much, but I know what God can do.
Hallelujah. Yes, yes.
And I know God will help you. If you'll just trust him and put your hands to the plow and get in the mess with him and do what you can. I guess it's easy to throw people out. I could have threw her out. I guess it's easy to turn your back and say, God never intended for me to put up with no tramp. And if I hadn't been such a tramp, maybe I would have. But I found out one thing. The complete forgiveness of God was given to me. So I could turn around. So I could turn around. Are you listening? So I could turn around and fish them out with me and bring them to me. And their life can be different. Let me ask you a question. You want fellowship with God? You say, I'm saved. Yeah, I know it. And what I'm asking is, do you want fellowship with God? Fellowship with God has a condition. You got to ask him. I heard that word. My brother prayed and said, help us scrooge up real close. That's when I changed the message. That scrooching up real close is called fellowshipping with somebody who's tender and knows us and will help us. How many of you get out of your seat? Come on now. Come on, let this last night be one I can remember real good. How many of you get out of your seat and say, I'm willing to pay that condition. I'll tell God I'm sorry. Come on. I'll tell God I'm sorry. I'm real ready for you've told me that if I'll confess the certainty of God, the certainty of God is he'll forgive me of all my sin. Yes, sir. And the completeness. You mean tell me, preacher, that God will wash all tonight? You can get I'm talking about the big eraser tonight. You can get the big eraser if you'll just come and let God restore fullness of joy. Come on. Come on. The preacher's going to take over the invitation just a minute. Come on. That's it. Come on. Oh, God, if you're a grandparent, come pray for them little babies. If you're a mama, daddy, come on up here and pray the Holy Ghost on your household, because I promise you the devil's after every one of them. But there's fullness of joy. There it is. Come on, baby, both of you. That's it. Come on up here and find your place and kneel down and thank the Lord that he cares more than anybody could ever care for you. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. Oh, God, now I know why he didn't want the other one preached. How about it? How about it? I want fellowship, preacher, and I want that fullness. I want to scrooge up real close with God. Come on down that aisle. Come down, jump up out of that pew and come down that aisle and find you a place and get in on this prayer. I promise you there's joy unspeakable and full of glory down here tonight if you'll let God touch you. Brother Scott, my part's done. Oh, Holy Spirit, touch these precious people tonight.